John 9:1-12. The curing a blind man, the making of the blind man see. As Christ said here, I am the light of the world, verse 5. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He's already said that he's the light of the world. John opened the gospel with this theme, light. Christ is still the light of the world in the gospel. And here he demonstrates in a physical form how he can take blind sinners and make them see. As he went along, verse 1, he saw a blind man, a man blind from birth. As he went along, is this connected with John 8? If so, in the midst of all his own personal troubles, the opposition of the Jews, the hatred of the Jews, just wanting to kill him, even as he's come away from their killing spree, if they could get their hands on him, as he went along in compassion and love and mercy towards this man, he saw this man blind. Now, hundreds, thousands of people saw this man blind. But Jesus saw him not only with eyes of compassion, but with a heart of compassion and full of power. The disciples also noticed this man, and they're very curious. What's the cause of this? The sin? There must be sin here somewhere. Now, what's the sin? Is it his own sin, or is it the sin of his parents? A direct connection between sin and suffering. Meat and drink, of course, for the prosperity gospelers. We have trouble, we have difficulties, we have loss, we have failure, we have bereavement, sin. We have success, we have prosperity, we have happiness, obviously pleasing God. It's a simple tie-up. Quite wrong. Whilst there is a link between sin and suffering, and while some diseases, of course, can directly lead to certain illnesses and diseases, there's no doubt about that. I'm not pretending that at all. Of course so. Of course it's so. But in this instance, there's no such simple tie-up. The whole notion is wrong. And Jesus says there's a bigger principle here. This man is blind now for me to demonstrate the glory of God. Verse 3. This happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. He then goes on to make this principle. That we must work while there is opportunity. We must strike while the iron is hot. We must make the most of the sunshine when we can work, because the night is coming, the dark is coming, when no man can work. And this is his principle here. I am here now, I can do it, and I will do it. I shall soon not be here anymore, and I won't be able to physically deal with this man in this way. This is the opportunity. Now is the time. There's a word here for believers, for me. I must do what I can for Christ while I can for Christ. The time will come when I may want to do it, but I'm not physically able to do it. The night is coming. Whatever God gives me to do in this day of opportunity, I must see to it. There's a word here for sinners. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. If the gospel is coming to you even as I speak now, then close in with Christ and believe and trust him. Receive him. Don't delay. Night is coming when no one can work. Now is the opportunity. Seize the opportunity. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He spat on the ground, made mud, put on the man's eyes, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, and the man did. And of course, everybody could see the effect. The man could see, he could see it, and everybody else could see the effect. And they begin to talk about it, verses 8 and 9 and on. Isn't this the man that used to sit and beg? Well, he looks like him. He seems like it. I think so. No, well, and it was debating, but at least people were talking about it. And this is the way of witness and evangelism, too. We show by our lives that we're changed creatures, and men and women, our fellows around us, ask the reason for the hope that we have. What's it about? How were your eyes open? How did it come about? What's produced this change? The man could not fully explain. The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed, and then I could see the simplicity of his testimony. The Lord told me to repent and believe. I repented and believed, and he saved me. He said, come unto me, and I came unto him. He said, believe on me, and I believed on him. He said, turn to me, and I turned to him. He said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, and I called upon his name, and he saved me. How can you explain it all? I can't explain it all. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know. And so the account will go on. There are many things the man does not know, but he can say this: once I was blind, but now I can see. And that testimony, unbelieving friend, is irrefutable. Once I was dead in sin, but now I am alive unto God. Once Christ meant nothing to me, but now I know he is all in all. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. He is the King. Once I could say there was no beauty in Jesus that I should desire him. Now he is altogether lovely, and he must have the preeminence. We must make our testimony to the world. We must live before men so that they can see the change. Every man who is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away. All things are made new. And we must show to the world that they must ask us a reason for the hope that we have. In times of bereavement and death and sickness and sorrow, in times of success and happiness, whatever it is, to witness for Christ and to work for Christ while we have the opportunity. And I say again, unbeliever, don't get bogged down in all the curiosities about this and that and the other. Realize that this is the day of grace. The door of mercy is open at the moment. And even now as I'm addressing you, the invitation is, come through the door, come to Christ, come and receive everlasting salvation. And I say it to you, the night is coming when there will be no more opportunity. So receive this opportunity now. Above all, receive Christ now. Use this opportunity and call upon the name of the Lord now. And believer, may we not get bogged down in idle curiosity, in foolish speculation. May we go on looking to Christ, working for Christ, witnessing for Christ while it is day, and showing to men in this dark and miserable and wretched world that he truly still is the light of the world, and he will give them light if they come to him for his light, for his salvation. The man born blind was made to see. And may this testimony, this little discourse about that glorious change, bring many other blind sinners to see Christ and encourage all his people, as many as hear this, to go on serving Christ, testifying for him, witnessing for him in this dark, benighted world.